Mike would have wanted, every Sunday at 9, sharing her real estate knowledge, tips on buying and selling your home, information on the loans to look for, and the ones to avoid. Throughout the Real Estate Hour, call in and ask your questions direct to Allison and her guest experts. And now, her glass is always half full. Here's Allison Norman.
Good morning. Here we are. Happy Sunday morning. It is Allison Norman, Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman. I hear an echo. Echo. Is it just me? Anyway, good morning. Maybe it's just me on my end. Welcome. Happy Sunday morning. Thanks for joining us here on the Real Estate Hour every Sunday morning. Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman. And we are, 49ers are playing today. What's going on with that, Joe? Sorry.
Yes.
Put you on the spot, but I'm sure you know.
No spot at all. It's definitely 49er day for a lot of people. Is it 3:30 yet?
Is it 3:30 yet? Yeah. So the good news is you have time to listen to the Real Estate Hour. You have time to go to a couple of open houses and be back in front of the TV or radio or whatever. If you're going to the game, you're not going to get there in time. Where are they playing anyway? They're here at Santa Clara. I knew that.
Yeah, they're playing the Packers in the NFC Championship game. And for you fans that think home field advantage isn't a big deal, it is 26 degrees and cloudy in Green Bay right now. So it's supposed to be a nice night tonight, and looking forward to it a lot.
Nice, yeah, yeah. It ought to be a good game. So
that's what, you know, a lot of 49er fans are a little overconfident, I believe, because they did play the Packers before, and it wasn't a very good game. But, experts have been known to be wrong. Football games, sporting events don't always go the way as planned.
Yeah.
So hard to fingers predict. Are definitely crossed.
Okay, go. Come on, 49ers. Awesome. But anyway, like I said, good news is you can still get a little real estate in today if that's on your agenda. Most open houses run from 1 to 4 on Sundays. It's kind of the typical I don't know who, somebody at some point said, let's do open houses from 1 to 4 on Sunday. And that's what everybody did. Everybody fell in line. Although sometimes you can catch an evening open house on the weekend. During the week, Saturdays, a lot of great time. And of course, you can always call the realtor you're working with, or if you're not working with a realtor yet, a lot of people just call the listing agent and say, hey, can I see that house? It's a good idea not to do that if you already have an agent you're working with. That's what, and I hear a lot of buyers say, well, we didn't want to bother the agent. It's like, well, that's what we're here for. That's part of our job, is to help you find a house. And trust me, we are more than willing, and I'm speaking for myself, but I know I'm also speaking for most of the real estate community. Is if there's a house that you would like to see, let's get you in there to see it. You don't have to call the listing agent. You don't have to wait till an open house. You can call your agent up and say, hey, there's this house, and it didn't come up on the list of what we were searching for, but I'd really like to get in and see it, and we will make an appointment to get you in to see it. That's what we do. So anyway, like I said, good news is you can get in, look at some houses today before 3 o'clock and still catch the Niners game, okay? So if that's on your agenda, then do that. So today we're going to talk about, I've got some just, market numbers, what's going on with the interest rates, and then a lot about passive income. I know a lot of people, that's kind of one of those, not really a New Year's resolution, but kind of a New Year's goal. A lot of people put on their list of things they want to do. And if you haven't thought about that, it might be something to think about. Building some passive income, building your wealth should always kind of be something on your mind, and strategies on how to do that. Buying a second home, buying an investment property, there's different ways to do it and different types of investment properties. And some interesting statistics about who are buying second homes. What age group is a little bit of a mix-up as it has traditionally been. It's a little bit of a change in that. And some people actually buying second homes first. So buying a vacation home before they actually even buy a home for themselves. And there's some interesting strategy around that. And then in honor of Monday is Martin Luther King Jr. Day. I think previously known when we were growing up was Ski Week here in California. You know, they had a couple of holidays, or maybe that was around the president days. But anyway, that we, you know, the school took off a week and called it Ski Week because I don't know why. But anyway, so we officially, it's Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And Monday, a lot of banks and I think post office, it's a federal holiday. Schools and the recorders, county recorder's office and the title companies are closed. So if you were thinking you were going to close escrow on tomorrow, you're not because the escrow offices are closed. And that kind of, it's that one of those holidays that kind of sneaks up on you. But anyway, it is definitely a timely topic because there is a lot of that going on in the world today, discrimination and, you know, just things that we're seeing. But anyway, so it just made me think about, you know, let's talk about protected classes in housing. So if you are thinking about becoming a landlord or buying or even an Airbnb, you know, even just in real estate in general, there are protected classes. We're going to go over that list. There's a couple that have been added this year. And it's just really important to know. And one important topic new this year is the Section 8 anti-discrimination in California, where you cannot advertise or disallow somebody because of where their income is coming from. That includes that Section 8 program. Which is a housing voucher. It's you know, a real kind of a sticky situation, and very, very important that you know about it and make sure that you stick with it, you know, as far as following the law. So we're going to talk about that and more. And, you know, it'll be a jam-packed event or Sunday. As usual, we always kind of fit a lot of stuff in there to talk about. So, before we take a break, I do want to talk about, and I mentioned it last week, and you know, sometimes I want to talk a little bit also about getting your house ready for the market. And it you know, it's always kind of that question, what should we do? Should we do this? Will it make a difference? And really kind of just, there's some few basic things, and then there's some other things that you can do, some updates, some, you know, and a lot of times it's just cleaning up, you know, getting the yard cleared up, getting, you know, decluttering, getting things ready. Other times it's painting, you know, maybe if the carpet is just really, really bad, maybe putting new carpet in. There's a lot of different options. And that brings me to really just, I was talking about the listing I have coming up on Moonview Court. It is still coming soon in the MLS. I've actually had a lot of activity, a lot of agents calling about it, but I'll let you know about it as well. It's 1532 Moonview Court. It is not quite ready. The owners, it's actually a trust sale. Mother passed away, the siblings, children are getting the house ready, and really it didn't need a lot of getting ready. It's just that, you know, they repainted, they're doing some great things to really kind of get this property to shine. Repainted the exterior, and just getting it cleaned up. They repainted the part of the interior. Anyway, but we're not quite ready. So I said it'll be ready this week, but it really will probably be end of next week. But pay attention and stay tuned, and I'll talk about it more next week. And if you are actively looking for a property, if your realtor has you on a real estate search, or if you have yourself on something through realtor.com or Zillow or your realtor's search site, It'll pop up sometime during the week. It's listed at $525,000, 3-bedroom, 2-bath. It is built in 1968. The owner, the family grew up there since 1978. So long time owner, really it took good care of the property. It just, you know, things get a little old and need to be updated. And so the trustee is taking care of all that, and it's going to be a nice property. So it already is, but we're getting it already. I've got the photographer scheduled. It's kind of always this little bit of a dance to kind of try and get the house to a point where it's, you know, it's just the way you want it, get the photographer in, And get it into the MLS and get a broker tour, open house, all that stuff. It's a little bit of a dance. So we're working on that. Thought it would be this week, but it looks like it'll be the end of next week or this coming week, I guess. And then I'll talk about it next Sunday and it'll be ready. And I think it's going to get a lot of activity. It's over off of Jennings, right, you know, across from Safeway almost. And just a great location over by Findlay. So stay tuned for that. We are going to take a break. When we come back, we'll dive into, you know, building that. We'll talk first about active, what's happening on the MLS, interest rates, and all that. We'll be right back. I am Allison Norman. This is Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman. Be right back.
Well, what's the point?
I don't know.
You got to suck it down so it can destroy your stomach and make your head tingle.
Oof, yeah. It just sounds like heartburn waiting to happen, but yeah. I don't have a good stomach, so whatever.
All right.
Live and local, Steve Jackson on The Drive, afternoons on KSRO.
Real estate in the North Bay is as diverse as its residents. From young families to retirees, you want a real estate professional that knows the region and can get you what you want with the least amount of hassle. Allison Norman of Keller Williams fits the bill.
It's my honor to work with first-time homebuyers, helping them make ownership in the North Bay a reality. It's important to me to get veterans, active military, young families, and single moms into stable homes right here in our community. I have extensive experience with FHA and VA buyers and how to work the ins and outs of getting your offer accepted.
Allison is involved in giving back in our community, too.
I've adopted a care, serve, give business practice, allowing me to give back to the communities I serve and the causes most important to my clients. Through Care, Serve, Give, I donate a charity you select at the close of every escrow.
Call Allison at 707-799-3617. Online at allisonnorman.kw.com.
Traffic on the fives, weather six times an hour. Sonoma County's morning news with Pat Kerrigan on FM News Talk, KSRO.
Welcome back to Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman on KSRO. Now, here's more with Allison.
Good morning. We're back. It is the Real Estate Hour, Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman here every Sunday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. on KSRO. And podcasts, always, if you miss part of the show or want to listen again or you just completely missed it altogether, you can go back and listen all you want on KSRO.com. Also, if you're away from your radio, KSRO.com is a great way to listen live. It's always streaming live. But if you want to listen to the podcast, you go to shows and then Ask the Expert and then Allison Norman Real Estate. That'll get you to the Real Estate Hour and all the past shows. So make sure you check that out. And then also our Facebook page, Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman on Facebook. A lot of times I'll post, in fact, I'm going to post a couple of links to things we're talking about today on there after the show. And then a lot of times I will also post the podcast. So I'll, go in and do that as well. So all kinds of ways to find us and tune in and get other additional information during the week. So anyway, active listings, a little bit of a look at the market, what's going on. Active listings, So these are active when we're looking at just Sonoma County and we're looking at across the board. I didn't filter out at all for price. So it goes, you know, from, you know, 200,000 or I think there's maybe way out in, you know, way out there at the river that, you know, there are homes that, you know, are under 200,000, but not very many. I think it's mostly, you know, 200 up to, you know, $10-20 million if you get up into the vineyards. But these are all single family residents. There are active 625 on the market right now. And that's, I think, pretty consistent with what we saw last week. So not a lot of change. But I am seeing a little bit of an uptick in what's coming on the market. And that's normal for this time of year as we head, you know, into the beginning of the year. And really, if you are thinking about putting your house in the market, really think about doing it sooner. A lot of people like to wait and go, oh, well, let's do it in the spring, you know, when it warms up and the flowers are blooming. And, you know, guess what? That's what everybody's doing. So if you want to be the only house on the block versus, you know, one of three or four houses on the block, really get your house on the market sooner rather than later. If you need help kind of figuring out what you need to do and what's important, what's not important, sometimes there's things that you think you need to do to get it ready, and really they're not going to make that big of a difference. So I'm glad to always come over to your house, talk to you about kind of your home's value, but not only that, but really what you should do to get your house ready, and maybe what you don't need to do. So that's something that I do on a regular basis, chatting with potential home sellers. Just kind of really what you should do to get your house in the market. So anyway, so that being said, I got totally distracted. So single family homes, there are 625 available on the market right now. Obviously not in all in your price point, whatever that may be. The condos, there's 70 available condos. I think that number is a little bit down from last week. Multifamily units, there are 29. So if you are thinking about, you know, a lot of people do is they'll buy, you know, a multifamily. You know, if you're not finding what you're looking for in your price point, talk to your lender and see what you can do to, you know, how much can you bump up your price if you were to bring in a second unit, that whether it's an ADU, an additional dwelling unit, or it's a duplex maybe, or, you know, triplex, fourplex. Would that make sense? How much more could you bump up your mortgage amount based on the fact that you're going to have renters in there helping to pay your mortgage? So that's always a good option if you're not finding what you want. And then for other reasons, it's also a good option. But anyway, there are 29 multifamily units in Sonoma County right now on the market. Again, across the board, there are 2 to 4 units is what defines a multifamily unit, and keeps it within the rules of the Department of Real Estate. When you get up into the multifamily, the rules are a little bit different. And it's more almost, you know, it's more like a commercial. Anyway, mobile homes, there are 78 available right now, and mobile homes are a good option. There's a lot of things to know about buying a mobile home as far as, you know, you are going to have space rent. So sometimes it has a really appealing initial price of, you know, $100,000, $200,000, whereas, you know, a home somewhere is going to be $400,000, $500,000, $600,000. So or, you know, a stick-built residential home. But you're going to have space rent. You have to apply for the park. So if you have any credit problems, you know, maybe you've got a chunk of cash you can put down and, you know, purchase outright a mobile home, but then you also have to be able to show that you can pay the rent. You have to not have, you know, huge credit issues because you have to qualify. And so there's a lot of things that go into that, but it is a good option for some people if you just keep all of those things in mind. Lots, we have been following residential lots, and these are, you know, buildable residential lots. There's other lots available in the county, but I'm looking strictly at residential lots. There are 276 available. 134 of that 276 is in the 03 and 04, which means for the most part, those are fire lots. And with the fire lots comes some reduced cost for permits, some streamlining to help you get a home built. So a lot of great, you know, kind of incentives from the city and the county to get those homes built and fill in those lots that are fire lots. Also active, of the 625, there are 130 homes in that 0304 area. That doesn't necessarily mean those are fire. But if you look at the year built, 2019, you break that down to 0304 zip code, 95403, 95404, which brings in Coffee Park, Fountain Grove, Mark West, that whole area that the Tubbs Fire went through. There are 54 new homes on the market, so built in 2019. So you can be pretty sure, although there are some new homes which is, you know, new home subdivisions, but there are also new homes that are not in a subdivision that are in those fire lots. There are 54 available of those. There goes my voice. Anyway, so there's, you know, if you were thinking about buying a house, there's, you know, inventory is there. It's a little low, but like I said, it's starting to pick up. And as we head into the spring, typically right after the Super Bowl, which is beginning of February,
our 2 weeks.
2 weeks, Joe says 2 weeks. He's counting the days, as are a lot of us. Anyway, for some reason, that's usually kind of the kickoff of the selling season as well. And so, and I don't know if maybe it just takes people that long after the holidays to kind of get going, or else they're just too into football to care about looking at homes. I don't know. It depends on who's in the game, I think. Anyway,
got that right.
Right. So this year we're a little preoccupied with the 49ers. Anyway, so there are, you know, houses out there. There are more coming on the market. If you're not finding what you really want, be patient, because I think more will be coming up soon. And interest rates are staying, you know, really crazy low. They are currently, right, average interest rate is 3.81% for 30-year fixed rate. 30-year FHA is at 3.62%. VA, 3.62%. VA is a great loan if you're eligible for that. Just make sure that you work with an agent that really understands the VA purchase process, because it is very different than a regular transaction. So just, that's a really important question to have of a realtor is, you know, if you're doing a VA, you know, are they familiar with the process, and probably dig a little deeper than that, because sometimes you just get that yes answer and it doesn't really tell you the whole story. So make sure that you, because it really is different. And, you know, a VA lender will kind of guide an agent through the process, but you really need to know, the agent needs to know the process, because there's a lot of strategy in how to get a VA offer accepted and work through the intricacies of a VA purchase. It's very different. Anyway, so just know that. And if you have questions about that, I'm glad to answer them for you, off the air or on the air. I should mention, I always forget our phone number, 707-636-1350. If anybody has a question, I'll do my best to answer it. And then nodumbquestion@gmail.com is also a great way throughout the week to send over questions for the Real Estate Hour, or for me specifically, about, you know, really anything. There, like it says, there are no dumb questions. So nodumbquestion@gmail.com. Anyway, 20-year fixed rate, 3.58, 15-year fixed rate, 3.24, 30-year jumbo, 3.99. So we're under this. These are the average. And really, you know, as I have told you before, it really depends on your specific situation. And, you know, and it's not just, it's your credit score, your debt to income, your, you know, their job. There's so many different things that go into that. Sometimes there's additional points tacked on for different things. If you're a higher risk, your interest rate's going to be higher. And some lenders offer incentives, and you know, you can buy down the interest rate, or, you know, or they'll buy down the, you know, there's a lot of different things. So these are averages, I'm telling you. But really, the bottom line is, if you're thinking about buying a house, if this is the year you're going to buy a house, interest rates are crazy low. And if this is the year, and we're going to talk about it when we come back from the news, buying a second home, buying a vacation home, it's a great investment. It's a really solid investment, despite the fact that a lot of people were really, you know, scared by what happened in 2006 and 7 and 8, you know, when the market dropped. But it's still, I think, a very solid investment. We're going to talk more about that. Interest rates are a little higher when you're getting an investment loan, but it still makes a lot of sense. Anyway, I am Allison Norman. This is Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman. We're going to take a little break for the news. We'll be right back with the Real Estate Hour.
G
Join the switch to crystal clear KSRO-FM, 103.5 Santa Rosa, Windsor, 94.5 Petaluma. Hear the difference.
The president's lawyers have filed their legal strategy in the impeachment trial of Donald Trump. The defense team saying the charge is brazen and unlawful. ABC's David Wright says House managers have
filed their legal brief in the case. They were required to do so by 5 p.m. Saturday. It's a 60-page brief essentially summarizing their case against the president. They argue that Trump abandoned his oath to faithfully execute the laws and betrayed his public trust, both by trying to get Ukraine to do his political dirty work and then by trying to cover it up.
California filing a lawsuit challenging a Trump administration plan to open up more than 1 million acres of public lands in central California to oil and gas drilling that includes fracking. Puerto Rico's governor dismissing the island's director of emergency management after a warehouse was discovered with supplies dating back to Hurricane Maria meant to help those in need, none of it distributed. Dave Packer, ABC News.
KSRO.
Real estate in the North Bay is as diverse as its residents. From young families to retirees, you want a real estate professional that knows the region and can get you what you want with the least amount of hassle. Allison Norman of Keller Williams fits the bill.
It's my honor to work with first-time homebuyers, helping them make ownership in the North Bay a reality. It's important to me to get veterans, active military, young families, and single moms into stable homes right here in our community. I have extensive experience with FHA and VA buyers and how to work the ins and outs of getting your offer accepted.
Allison is involved in giving back in our community, too.
I've adopted a care, serve, give business practice, allowing me to give back to the communities I serve and the causes most important to my clients. Through Care, Serve, Give, I donate a charity you select at the close of every escrow.
Call Allison at 707-799-3617. Online at allisonnorman.kw.com.
With Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast, here's Daniel Trucios on the KSRO Weather Watch.
Rain and showers will come back on Tuesday. Today, though, just cloudy at 59, 56 along the coast. Overcast tonight, low 40 degrees, 43 on the shores. Monday is sunny after a cloudy morning, high of 61, 57 in Bodega Bay. Tuesday should see occasional showers all day, high of 56. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FF News Talk 103.5 and 94.5. KSRO.
Welcome back to Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman on KSRO. Now, here's more with Allison.
Good morning. We're back. It is the Real Estate Hour, Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman every Sunday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. here on KSRO. Thanks for joining me every Sunday morning, bright and early. We are talking today about a couple of things, but right now we're talking about second home. You know, like I said, a lot of people are, you know, kind of beginning of the year, one of their not so much resolution, but kind of goals for the year is to build some passive income. And, you know, there's a lot of different ways to do that. I'm a firm believer in, not just because it's my profession, but really I got into real estate investing before I became a realtor. So, It truly is not just because my profession, but I am a strong believer in second home purchases and building your passive income through investment properties. And you know, if that's not your thing, you don't want to be a landlord, really just a second home to maybe buying with a group of people, as kind of own your own little timeshare. Do not, whatever you do, really steer clear of timeshares, because if I could tell you the amount of times I have had people ask me or see posts in the real estate groups of, you know, how do I have a client that has trying to sell a timeshare. How do I get out of it? You know, they're really, really hard to get out of. So when I say buying with a group of people, I don't mean a giant timeshare corporation. I mean, you know, maybe a few friends, and you got to be careful because friends can quickly turn into enemies when business ventures get involved. So be very careful. Make sure they're good friends and that you have a really solid a solid plan in place, solid contract, and a very solid exit plan. You know, what if somebody decides they need to get out of this? What if they need to cash out? You know, what are you going to do? Does it mean you sell it or you sell off their portion of it? You know, how does that work? So that's a whole different animal, but it's something to think about. And just adding that passive income, even if it's just a second home, there are some write-offs as, you know, as it being a second home. But typically the tax write-offs are when it's a rental, and then you can, and there's depreciation, and there's some tax incentives and tax breaks for having an investment property. But also, you know, if you do it right and strategically and in the right location, you can get what's called passive income or cash flow. And that means that, you know, you're basically, it's money in the bank. It's money that, you know, like mailbox money. It's, you know, it shows up every month as your rent. And there are, you know, you do, if you're going to buy a property out of the area, I really encourage that you get a property manager. Really, it's even a good idea if you have, you know, say you buy a new home and you've got your old home, and you don't want to get rid of it. You want to hang on to it as a rental. You can manage it yourself, but, you know, gosh, the liability and just the peace of mind of not managing it yourself is a good idea. And it's, you know, you're going to pay a little bit for a property manager, but it really does make sense, especially if you're out of the area. It's really, I would say, a must is to have a property manager overseeing things there in the town you're purchasing the home. And really, you know, a lot of people are having to do that. You know, when the market was down and prices, we were in our trough in, you know, 2009, 10, you know, 11, things kind of started to go up. But, you know, people got some very good, there was some really good investments, whether it was buying a house and fixing it up and selling it, or fixing it up and renting it out, or just buying it and holding it and renting it out. You know, you paid $200,000 for this house and you can get, you know, $3,000 a month of rent. There's some passive income there. As California prices have gone up, that's kind of gone away, that, you know, being able to have the passive income. And people, you know, there are people that don't understand. You see a lot on the, you know, on the Facebook, the neighborhood boards and, you know, groups and the complaints about the high price. And I will, you know, I'll give you that. The cost of rentals is ridiculous and it's high, and but it's the demand that's, you know, demanding it. The lack of housing and the fact that people are paying, you know, so you hear people go, oh my gosh, they're charging so much money. Well, you know, maybe their mortgage, they're charging $2,700 because their mortgage is $2,500 or their mortgage is $2,700. In some cases, their mortgage is $3,000 and they can only get $2,700 for the house, and they're negative. So there's a lot of factors going into that. But for that reason, and because the prices are so high here in Sonoma County and the Bay Area, you know, pretty much in general, a lot of people are looking outside of California to purchase homes. And actually, that's what I did, because when I bought my homes, it was in 2003, 2004. And the it was too expensive to buy a house in California and get any kind of cash flow as an investment. So, and I have, you know, I had some equity I'd built up in my house from when I bought it. This we're talking about, I think it was 2003, I bought my investment properties. I bought one in Henderson, Nevada, and I bought one in a little town called Redmond, Oregon, which is outside of Bend, Oregon, and did very well with both of those when the market, you know, tanked here. They were about, both of those markets were about 6 months behind us. Bend was a little more than that, but so we could see it. My realtor called me and said, we're starting to see some movement here, you know, so I'm all, sell them. So I sold them, made some equity, but in the meantime, I did have some cash flow coming in. So anyway, it's a good idea. I think we're at that point now where really people are not just, you know, we hear a lot about people moving out of the area to, just to live because they don't want to pay the high price of homes in California. But we also hear a lot of people moving out of the area to buy rental properties. And maybe you're thinking eventually you're going to move there and retire. So there's a lot of people looking. I actually have next week a good friend of mine who is an agent in Arizona, in Prescott, Arizona, we'll ask her how you say it, Prescott, Arizona. And coincidentally, I've heard like three people in the last couple of weeks have either said they're looking to purchase in Prescott and do I know an agent there, or one lady, I showed her property to one of my buyers and she said they're building a house in Prescott, Arizona. Well, it's interesting. So anyway, I called up Kelly and I said, Kelly Rutherford of Prescott, Arizona. She's going to call in and kind of tell us what's going on in the Arizona, that part of the area. It's kind of northern Arizona. I know they get snow there in the winter. It's really pretty, but and the prices are crazy low compared to California. So as an investment, it's really a good idea to look out of the area. And there's a lot of, there's an interesting article that some buyers are purchasing a second home first. And this is kind of an interesting phenomenon. And a lot of first-time buyers are opting to buy vacation homes before their first home. And really, it makes sense if you know, if you don't have the money to buy a house here in California, you know, just maybe rent and buy something out of the area and build up that passive income and build up your portfolio. And with that, then comes income, and maybe you can then eventually afford to buy a house here. You know, financial planners are warning that buying a second home first could take up all of a person's assets and delay them from being able to purchase here. But it's something that may be a strategy, you know. And also what I've talked about before is a lot of people are delaying buying a home, not because they can't afford it, but because they really don't want to be tied down. And there's kind of a false sense of that making sense, but because really you could always just rent it out. But you know, people like to move around. People, you know, young people, you know, they want to travel, they want to see the world, they want to do things, they don't want to be tied to a house. But buying an investment property in another state, I really think it's a good option for some people. But anyway, so there is this trend that people are buying vacation homes, and I don't know if vacation home is the right term, but maybe, you know, you can as a vacation home or as a rental property or a vacation rental, you know, and I think a lot of times that's what it is, you know, say vacation home, but it's for you to visit, but it's also while you're not there that to rent it out. And that brings up a whole other slew of things that could be problematic when it comes to becoming a landlord of a vacation rental. One thing it's really important to know is that there are some very strict, and it's getting more and more, local laws and ordinances strictly, you know, prohibiting, I'm stuck on the word, prohibiting vacation rentals in certain areas. Sonoma County, there are not very many areas where you can buy have a vacation rental anymore. There's a lot of in-city, you know, in the city of Sebastopol, city of Sonoma. Over in Napa, there's, you know, Napa, the city of Napa, there's ordinances there. Hillsburg, the coast is still in Russian River, you know, still allowing vacation rentals. And really that's their lifeblood. You know, they'd be shooting themselves if they said no more vacation rentals in those areas. But in other areas, they're really strict. So it's important to know that if you're going to an area out of town and you're going to buy a vacation rental, you really need to know, can you do a vacation rental in this area? Is it allowed? You need to know the local laws. You need to work with a realtor that understands and knows that area and knows what the local laws are. Also, Airbnb, because of the issues that we've seen recently with parties and shootings and, you know, all these things happening, they have really tightened their rules as well. So while I think it's a great idea to have a vacation rental and to have that as a source of income, you just really need to understand going into it what you're gonna kind of be up against as far. And don't just assume, like in Sonoma County, there is what's called the X overlay that went into effect a few years ago that there are currently vacation homes in this area, but what the law says is once that owner sells, it can no longer be a vacation home. They will no longer be issuing permits. So don't just assume that if there's a vacation rental there now, that when you purchase that home, you can run it as a vacation rental. It's really important to know that because there are a lot of new laws coming up because it has become really problematic and a lot of big money coming into neighborhoods and areas and just kind of taking over with the vacation rentals and kind of swooping up that that housing stock for people that actually need to live there. So anyway, it's just important to make sure you understand that. And then, so we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about a little bit more about kind of what, you know, protected classes, things you need to know if you are going to be a landlord, really just in selling real estate in general. And then interesting about the age of buyers that are skyrocketing, and it's the second home, not second home, but second time purchase. Interesting numbers. So we'll talk about that when we get back. I'm Allison Norman. This is Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman. We'll be right back.
Listen to KSRO on your smartphone or tablet on the TuneIn Radio app. Available for iPhones and Androids. Take KSRO with you on the go in the North Bay or anywhere in the country with the TuneIn Radio app. Sonoma County's News Talk, KSRO. We're everywhere you are.
Real estate in the North Bay is as diverse as its residents. From young families to retirees, you want a real estate professional that knows the region and can get you what you want with the least amount of hassle. Allison Norman of Keller Williams fits the bill.
It's my honor to work with first-time homebuyers, helping them make ownership in the North Bay a reality. It's important to me to get veterans, active military, young families, and single moms into stable homes right here in our community. I have extensive experience with FHA and VA buyers and how to work the ins and outs of getting your offer accepted.
Allison is involved in giving back in our community, too.
I've adopted a care, serve, give business practice, allowing me to give back to the communities I serve and the causes most important to my clients. Through Care, Serve, Give, I donate a charity you select at the close of every escrow.
Call Allison at 707-799-3617. Online at allisonnorman.kw.com.
Rincon Valley hears KSRO on Crystal Clear FM at 103.5.
Welcome back to Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman on KSRO. Now, here's more with Allison.
Good morning. We're back for the last 15 minutes. Not even 15, what, 13 minutes? 12 minutes. It goes by so fast. If y'all wonder why I talk so fast sometimes, it's because we have all this information to fit in, and the hour just sneaks away from me. Anyway, so there's an interesting article. This is from the National Association of Realtors, and it's talking about the age of buyers skyrocketing. But it says, but not for who you think. It's interesting, from 1981 to 2018, first-time buyer age was actually a pretty boring flat line, which fluctuated between 28 and 32. The only movement outside of that was in 2019, when it slightly increased to the median age of 33. So these are first-time home buyers. Not a big change. However, what an interesting change is the number of second-time home buyers. So somebody moving from that first home into the second home, and if you know, if you've paid attention at all to what happened in the last decade, you know, or more, when we saw the market crash and we saw people completely underwater, short sales, foreclosures, and a lot of people just hanging on for dear life to those homes and paying the mortgage on a house that was worth half of what the mortgage payment was. A lot of people did mortgage, you know, adjustments and forgiveness, debt forgiveness, and all of that. But, you know, now we're starting to see. So I think that was a lot of the play to a factor into this. But repeat buyers were the median age of 36 in 1981. So you'd buy a house. You'd live in it for 5 to 7 years and, or 6 to 7 years is what the number was, which has now increased to 10 years. So, you know, you'd buy it, you'd live in it for a while, you'd build some equity, you'd improve your income, your credit, your, you know, all of that. And, you know, maybe have, your family's getting bigger, you need to move in a bigger house and all of that rolled in together, put the median to age to about 36, which makes sense. So this was in 1981. Now here we are in 2020, 2000, what? I was going to say 2019. And it's now age 55. People are thinking, hey, maybe we should buy another house. Or maybe it's time, maybe we can. And it really makes sense if you look at how the economy has been over those last, 20, 30 years. It makes sense that it's an older age now. So the tenure of holding a home has increased from 6 to 7 years in 1981 to now 10 years is what the average person holds a home for. And really, I would argue that it's a lot longer than that in most cases here because of that, because of the market and what happened and people getting stuck in that. And also a lot of things is that holding people, keeping people in their homes is that tax base. They don't want, maybe they bought their house in at the bottom of the market in 2009. Now it's worth twice as much, and they're not going to be able to bring that tax base with them. They're also going to pay some chunk of taxes as well, if depending on how much it increased and what they're allowed to write off. But anyway, that people don't realize about the Prop 16, Prop 90, they can take that tax base with them. But you have to be 55 years to do that. So I wonder if that 55 kind of ties into that as well. Anyway, so Americans are also living longer, working longer. The idea of moving and purchasing a new home, even with a mortgage, is a trend many feel comfortable doing. Past the traditional retirement age. So, they're waiting. People are having children later in life. Many life decisions get pushed further into the future. Anyway, so it's just an interesting trend that people are staying in their homes longer. So there you go. But I think, I really think kind of going back to that buying a second home, it's a good investment thing. And maybe, people staying. And I know in my case, I bought my rental homes with equity that I built in my home that I lived in, because I bought it in 1997. Equity kind of skyrocketed when the prices went up like crazy. And I said, I've got all this money in equity, and it's just sitting there, so like a lot of people pulled the money out. And I bought a couple of investment properties with that money. I had mortgages. I didn't have that much equity. I could buy a couple of investment properties, but I was able to put down payments on a couple of rental properties in other areas. However, when the market tanked, had I not pulled that money out, I would not have been underwater. But since I had, I was underwater, and it took a long time to get back to now I have equity back in my house, as do a lot of people here in Sonoma County now, and really in California. But I think, that's what kept me in my house. I think I probably would have moved prior to that. So there's a lot of factors playing into that. Anyway, just interesting, kind of keeping an eye on things. Lastly, before we run out of time, like I said, Martin Luther King Jr. Day tomorrow. There's an interesting quote that I was looking through quotes, and he has a lot of good quotes and very relevant these days. But anyway, in talking about real estate, this one kind of resonated with me, because I say this a lot about that, when we talk about rental, when we talk about the homeless, and we talk about, the things being built in Roner Park, and we talk about the wine industry, that's not real estate related directly, but it is. And so when we talk about the homeless issue and the affordability issue, and it's not really relevant to real estate, or it doesn't sound like it is, but really the health of a community is the health of a real estate market. And it all ties in together. And a good Martin Luther King Jr. quote, it's kind of a partial quote because he goes on, but basically whatever affects one directly affects all directly. I can never be what I ought to be until you are what you ought to be. This is the interrelated structure of reality. So, and of real estate. If the market isn't healthy, if the community isn't healthy, the market isn't healthy. So anyway, there's some laws. So kind of in honor of Martin Luther King Jr., who did a lot for equal rights, and California has added a couple of anti-discrimination classes to know about. One, and you know, I want to make sure I don't miss, is just remind people that Section 8 is a, it's at the bottom of this list of, I think there's like 11, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. No, there's more. There's like 15 protected classes. But one that was added was source of income. So source of income means now you can no longer discriminate a tenant based on where their money is coming from. So if they have a Section 8 housing voucher from the county or the city, where basically the city is paying a portion of their rent, and they get a voucher and they get, you know, something saying, we're going to pay this much rent, they can take that to any landlord, property manager, you know, whatever, and say, here, this is my income. Here's my W-2s from my work. You know, here's my pay stubs. Here's what I have in the bank. Here's my housing voucher. And, you know, so they have to accept that as a form of payment, as a source of income. Sorry. And they can't, you can no longer advertise that you don't take Section 8 or that you do take Section 8. You can't advertise it. This is really important to know, and a lot of people, I think, are not aware of it or not following along. And it's problematic, as Keith Becker, Dee's Rental, told us and talked about, and we've talked about prior to that as well, is that really it's a program that you have to sign on to. You have, there's inspections, there's rules you have to follow, it's different than a regular rental transaction. However, now you can't say, I don't want to buy into this program. You can't say that. You have to, if somebody comes to you, they're the best candidate for the house, you can't say, oh, we're not going to take you because you're on Section 8 and we don't want to be involved in that program. You can't do that anymore. So it's important to know that. Some of the other, some commonly known, some not, but these are the protected classes. So if you are thinking about buying a second home, which is kind of the reason I'm putting all of this together in one topic, is if you're thinking about buying a second home, you are going to become a landlord, unless it's a vacation home that nobody else is ever going to stay at. You are going to become a landlord. You have to abide by, you have to know these protected classes. So ancestry, national origin, citizenship, which is covered under the UNRRA Civil Rights Act, which applies to most housing accommodations in California, disability, mental or physical, familial status, gender identity, gender expression, genetic information, immigration status, also covered under the UNRRA Civil Rights Act, marital status, military and veteran status. And that's a new one also that's just been added in 2020. Military and veteran status is now a protected class. Primary language, also covered under the Civil Rights Act. You can't discriminate against somebody because they can't speak English very good. Race or color, religion, sex and gender, sexual orientation, and source of income, which we already talked about. So those are all protected classes, and those, you know, a lot of which thanks Martin Luther King Jr. for, you know, being such a strong voice for equality. And we celebrate him tomorrow. And, you know, we just need to remember that. And really any real estate, when you're selling your house, and our realtors, we have a very, you know, we are equal opportunity. You can't discriminate. You can't pick who moves into the house. You can't steer somebody towards a certain neighborhood because you think they'd be a better fit for that neighborhood, or they wouldn't be a better good fit for this neighborhood. You have to be really careful with that, as you should be, not just because it's a law, but because it's moral and right and and all that good stuff. So I think we're about out of time. Next week, so we'll be talking a little bit. Like I said, I have an agent calling in from Arizona. I'm going to line up, I think, another one to another area of Arizona. We'll talk a little bit about Arizona real estate. If you're thinking about buying a second home, that's a good place to do it. If you're thinking about getting out of California, think about Arizona. It's not all 110 degrees there. Anyway, we'll be back next week. I'm Allison Norman. This is Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman here in beautiful Sonoma County. We'll see you next week. Thanks.
The preceding was a paid presentation. On Crystal Clear FM at 103.5 and 94.5, Sonoma County's News Talk, KSRO Santa Rosa.